Hallelujah. Well, we've been ministering on being led by the Spirit of God. And the Lord had spoke to me and told me to start on an area, another area of teaching. It's an area I've taught on before. Numbers of times I've taught on and taught around it. The last time I taught it, I did a couple teachings on it. But I have a sense I'm going to be staying around on this subject for a little while. But the Lord told me to start to teach on the name of Jesus, and I just put it down as the name above every name. And we're going to begin to look into some things concerning the name of Jesus, of what the Word says. It's not a subject that's taught very much anymore. It's not. When I came into the kingdom back in January 1980, there was teaching in that area, and even numbers of ministers and that stuff would talk about that. You'd hear it the teaching on that. And one of the things that we've done over time is that really the church, and I believe it's one of the reasons why one of the problems we're facing, because in Christianity, because foundational teaching has stopped. And most people coming into the kingdom of God over the past 20 years, most of them have no foundational teaching. And that's why people, you know, have, you know, fallen away and things, you know, have happened. Because people, you know, they're sitting in churches and people say, well, this is a good church. Well, you know, they believe in Jesus. They believe in being born again. They believe in the... But if you don't have a foundation, you know, it's what people call something good. Many Christians, really, from a standpoint as a Christian, really don't live a good life because they don't live the life of God. So it's not a good life. Now, it's good to the standard of men. And the devil likes to keep the church over there in that area where we're just, you know, we're nice people. We're just good people. And we're, you know, keep you over that area where you're not effective. You know, where you just get along pretty good and, you know, you're doing okay. You know, he's not quite killing you, but you limp pretty bad. And you just, he keeps you over in that area. But you look at the rest of the world around you and you're saying, well, you know, everybody else sort of has this. And I've watched this with Christians. I've watched Christians, well, you know, they say, well, look at what other people, you know, this is what they have and what they do. And Christians get over the idea, well, you know, that's okay. Well, I'm sorry. The Christian should live a higher life. The Christian should have a higher life. When I got born again, I stepped into a higher life. It was a better life. It wasn't on the same level as before. It doesn't mean that we don't face things, but you know, we shouldn't be dealing with things like the world's dealing with things. We shouldn't be doing it. There's some things Christians shouldn't even be dealing with at all. And one of the reasons that we deal with a lot of things that we do is because we're convinced that we just have to deal with what everybody else deal with. It's because we don't know the Bible. There's things that we should not be dealing with. Stuff we should, you and I shouldn't be facing. And just getting into the foundations of the Word. And Kenneth E. Hagin, he wrote a book, and he used a lot things E.W. Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon wrote a book years ago. I think Kenyon's book was written back probably in the early 60s, maybe, or about the end of the 50s, early 60s, somewhere around there. I'd have to look on the copyright thing on it. But he wrote a book called The Wonderful Name of Jesus, and I don't know if you ever read the book. If you've only ever read it one or two times, I'm sure you don't know much about it. I'm just going to tell you that. You don't know much about it. You can't sit down and read E.W. Kenyon's book once or twice and get anything. If you did, you get nothing. You might as well just go give it back to the store you bought it. You got to sit down and read his books over and over, because in a couple of pages, you can spend a lot of time in a couple of pages of Kenyon's books before you ever get any revelation out of them. And I'll tell you, I've sat down with Kenyon's books already, and I've read a chapter, and then I've turned around and read that chapter again, and read it again, and read it again, and read it again. And I kept thinking the whole time I was reading it, you know, there's things in here I'm not getting. Because I know, I just know there's things in here I'm getting glimpses of stuff. But Kenyon will just pack things full when he says stuff, when he would say something he's writing. And I'd go back over and read and read and read. I think the first time I read the book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus, it probably took me a month to read the thing. So if you sit down, and I remember a pastor, you know, said to me, I you know, gave him that book to read, you know, and he read it and gave it back, you know. He said, oh yeah, I sat down, that was really good. Well, I found out he sat down, he was a speed reader, and he read through that thing in about an hour or so and gave it back to me, you know. He probably, maybe 2 hours, but he was reading through that thing and hustling through it. Oh yeah, that was really a good book. And I thought, you don't know nothing. And his life proved it too. And you need to know that. There's things that need to be meditated on, looked at time and over again. And Kenyon has a wonderful book there. There's a lot of jam-packed revelation in that book. And Brother Hagin used that book. But one of the things that Kenyon said, and Kenyon talked about this, is in his quote from his book on the wonderful name of Jesus. He said, one afternoon while giving an address on the name of Jesus, a lawyer interrupted me asking, do you mean to say that Jesus gave us the power of attorney, the legal right to use his name? And I said to him, brother, you're a lawyer. And he said, I'm a layman. He said, tell me, did Jesus give us the power of attorney? Now, this is what the attorney said. He said, if language means anything, what's he talking about? The Bible. He's teaching the Bible. He said, if language means anything, he said, then Jesus gave the church the power of attorney. In other words, what's written in this, what's written in the pages of this book concerning what Jesus did for us, this attorney says, according to what the words say in this book, Jesus gave the church the power of attorney. He said, then I asked him, what is the value of the power of attorney? He said, it depends upon how much there is back of it, how much authority, how much power this name represents. And so, he said, Jesus gave us the power of attorney. And it's important in the usage of that term, power of attorney. There's one thing as I learned over the years. I have learned to look at the Bible really as, like, you know, a lot of people from a standpoint don't like to look at the Bible as a legal book. But to me, the Bible is a very legal book. If the Bible represents truth, and it represents, if I follow it, this is the Word of God, then it's legally sound. You know, people that don't, I like the legalism of the Bible from the standpoint that the Bible principles stand true all the time. See, people that don't like laws and rules, those are the people that get locked up. Now, you know, I understand that's the way it is. See, laws and rules are not laid down. God didn't lay down laws and rules to hinder anybody. He laid down laws and rules to keep us safe. It was to keep you and I safe, keep you and I blessed. And the Bible is a legal document. It's a covenant. It's a legal document. It's just like if somebody would turn around and write a will out, and they wouldn't do it from a legal standpoint, you know, they could turn around and have that thing thrown out. It has to be legally sound. It has to be written out right legally for that document to take place. We're dealing with a covenant. In other words, we call it the New Testament for our covenant. The New Testament is a legal document. It's called a testament. In other words, it's a legal document given to the church upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a testament. In fact, years ago, when you talked about, they didn't call people's thing a will, they called it a testament. That's what it was. When a person died, they read their testament, whatever they put down concerning their last will and testament of what they were saying about what they wanted done with their stuff. This is what we have in this book. And you need to understand that. If you don't understand the Bible as a legal document, you're never going to walk in the life that God has for you. It's a legal document. But understand this, you must follow it legally. It's a legal document. It can't be like we're doing today. You know, it don't matter about laws and rules. We just make them up as we go along. And we need to understand it. See, the American society of Christians, and this is one of the things. When I first came in the kingdom, a lot of teaching and that stuff was taught from the Bible. When he talked about covenant, I remember Kenneth Copeland teaching on the areas of covenant. He taught it on his back as a legal document. That's what he was talking about. He was talking about covenant. This was a legal thing that God set up. There's laws and principles and rules that govern this thing. And if you follow them, there's great blessing in this thing. But if you oppose it, there's trouble. You need to understand this. God has made covenant with man. Anybody who opposes the covenant ends up under the wrath of God. Well, what do we have in our own society? We have laws and rules. You oppose the laws and rules, you go to jail. It's the same thing. But somehow people got in the church and they got what they called freedom. And really, most of the freedom in the church is all bondage to sin. It's all bondage. Because it doesn't follow any kind of guideline. Good, it does it how I feel along, how I want to go. I think God's like this, or I think God's like that. I don't care what anybody thinks God is. Show me in the Word what it says. Because see, that's the legal document. If I know what the Word says, then I can have faith in God. Faith is based on the document. Faith is not based on my thoughts. It's based on the document. That document is a legal document given by heaven to believers. Understand this. It is not given to the sinner. This is one of the reasons why the name of Jesus has amounted to nothing for the church. Because the church preaches what we call a gospel, but we don't. Our gospel is just a thing thrown out there to everybody, and the sinners feel that they can have, that God will do for them what He does for the saint. He does not. This documents the covenants that God made were only good for the people who were in the covenant. That's it. The name of Jesus is of no value to the sinner unless he gets born again. And you need to understand, this is why we've gotten in the mess today that we're in. Because we have this gospel that is preached that is not a gospel at all. And it makes everybody believe God's going to respond to them whether they walk with God or they don't. Or whether they follow the covenant or they don't. Just, oh, today I'm going to call on God because I need some help doing something. Tomorrow I'm just going to go do what I want. It doesn't work that way. The sinner has no right to pray to God and ask Him anything other than to get born again. He has no right. The rights are under the covenant. This is a covenant book. This is not a book written to everybody. It's not written to the people on the outside. It wasn't written to the heathen. We tell sinners, you just need to pray and talk to God. Get over it. What are you telling that for? They need to get born again is what they need to do. Then they have a right to respond to God. Now, I'm a heretic today to most of the preaching. Because, oh, you're causing division. That's right. That's what Ed Gibson's in the church to do in these last days. Cause a division in the church. Because the church don't know the difference between the devil and God. And I'm here to divide it up. We don't have a right. And this is why you have to understand. When you and I got born again, we stepped under the right to a legal document. You're under the right of a legal document. This is the will and testament of Jesus Christ to the children of God, not to the children of the devil. Now, anyone who is not born again can enter the kingdom. What we do is the part of the gospel, and like we talk about preaching the gospel, most people think preaching the gospel means telling people to get saved. Well, you know, that is such ignorance going to see. That's only a part of the gospel. All the rest of this stuff I'm talking about is part of the gospel. If it's not, what are we preaching for? Healing's gospel, folks. That's how people got healed under Jesus' ministry. The Bible says He went out and preached the gospel. That's what it tells us. He went out and preached the gospel. What was His gospel? Get healed. There's a get healed gospel. You know? But we have this covenant. Now, Jesus was sent to Israel. Why was He sent to Israel? They were the covenant people of God. He went to them and talked to them about the covenant. He talked to them about a new covenant that's going to be made. The new covenant was going to be made, was going to be, any man could enter into it. It wasn't just for the born Jew. Now, men would be born again, and any man who was born again could enter into this new covenant of God. But understand this, anybody who's not born again, I don't care how much they pray or what they do, hell is the place they'll end up being. Now, I know we don't want to talk about that. We don't ever tell nobody they're going to go to hell because people don't like to hear that message. So we just let them go to hell, tell them, oh, well, you know, you believe there's a God, yeah. Yeah, so does every other pagan believes there is a God. That don't amount to nothing. It doesn't amount to me at all to say I believe in Jesus and don't ever follow Him. It's worthless. It's worthless. We have a covenant. You and I got born again. You are now under a covenant. And God has written this covenant out. It is not written to God. It's written to you and I. This legal document is what was given to us through Jesus Christ. This was given to you and I. In other words, Jesus passed on the inheritance. We talk about we have an inheritance. We talk about the things that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, what is it? It's this covenant that we're under. This is our inheritance. Through this covenant, it's just like if you have somebody who dies and leaves a will. What people get out of it is whatever is stated in the document. Now we have today, you can turn around and do your will legally, and you know what? Courts don't care anymore because most people are pagans. Most Christians live like pagans. The lie, cheat, and steal. No, because what happens, you get over here, you got a heathen that's in the family, and they want everything. So they'll take it to court and contest it, and they fight over and that stuff. So much money gets spent that people hardly get any inheritance left because of the ignorance of the court system and the devils that run it and operate through it. And they do this. In other words, you sit down. Legal documents don't need mean nothing anymore. Contracts in America, they're the most worthless things in the world. You might as well burn every one of them because they mean nothing. If somebody don't want to pay something off or do something, go to court. Everybody can fight over it. It don't mean anything. But see, because that goes on, the church world operates in the same manner. And when we do that, we lose sight of this covenant. God changes not. Just like I read this morning, Constitution ain't America's problem. It's all its devilish people. That's the problem with America. It's the same way in the church. If the church views this covenant like it considers its own agreements, and understand this, if you're not good to your own word, if you're not good to your own word, you won't believe that word either. One of the things that's going to keep you true in your faith is learning to keep your own word. You see, we live in a society, the reason contracts don't mean anything because people's word don't mean anything. So the written legal stuff means nothing. It's all changeable. See, you've got to come down to the point where this book becomes your standard because this is your will and testament given to you. This is your inheritance. Written upon the pages of the new covenant tells you about your inheritance, what God gave you through Jesus Christ. It's written in this book. It's written in these pages. This, and I'm going to say, whether we like it or not, we must legally follow it. We must legally walk in it because if we don't, it don't work. It works if you legally follow it. Now the foundation of it working, the whole foundation of it working is called faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now what does it say? Is it possible at all to please God if you don't have faith? No, the Bible says it is impossible. Now, when a person says, well, I don't have faith, that's not pleasing to God. You better get some. You better get some. See, we have a Christianity today that you can please God without faith. Oh, we wouldn't ever tell somebody you ain't pleasing God because you ain't believe Him. Oh, no, don't ever say that to nobody. Oh, no. Well, I'm sorry, it's true anyhow. It's in the covenant. It's written down in the covenant that I can't please God without faith. Faith is the easiest thing to get. That same person says that I can't believe God would believe any weatherman or any reporter that said anything to them because all their faith is in men. They wouldn't even stop 2 seconds not to believe what they said. But you tell them what God said. Well, now, I don't know if you could really believe that. Maybe that was for the Jew, or this was for somebody. Maybe it was for, and they'll go through their whole routines. And it's the easiest thing to believe the Bible. See, this must become settled to you that this is God's legal document to you. If it's not, it's of no value. If you don't believe this is a legal document that's given to the church, if you don't believe that, you won't walk in faith with it. You won't trust God. You won't. The only way you can trust God is you got to believe that this thing's legally sound. Is it? You can't go out here. If you're going to walk around to other people to try to get them to, well, what do you think about what it says? I'm not interested what other people think it says. I remember Kenneth Hagin was asked a question one time. A person asked what they thought about with certain scriptures. He said, I don't think about it at all. He said, I just believe what the Bible says. He said, it ain't important what I think of it. It ain't important what you think of you. I'm just going to tell you, most of you have thought too many times. I'm going to tell you, my thinking can lead me to places I don't need to go. I'd be so much better off just to say, so that's it. Let's let it alone. Now, if God wants to give me a revelation, but I'll tell you what, I've watched, that's how we get so many strange doctrines into church. People sit down and go through their reason and thinking about things and thinking about stuff. Let God reveal things to you. Believe the word's true, whether it makes sense to you or not. It doesn't have to make sense to be true. You know, one and one is two. We don't tell a child that they don't have to believe that one and one is two because they don't understand math yet. But that's what Christians do all the time. Christians think, well, you know, I can just think up something of how I want to believe it. That's why we have so many different beliefs that people call faiths and ain't faiths at all. There is only one faith, and that's faith in the Word of God. That's the only faith there is. There's no such thing as Presbyterian faith. It would be Presbyterian unbelief if it ain't in line with the Word of God. Well, the same with us. You and I the same way. It would not be faith unless it's in line with the Word of God. And see, you can have faith. When you find out that this is a legal document that Jesus Christ Himself gave, signed, sealed in His blood, gave to you and I, when we come to that place that we believe that with all of our heart, I'll tell you, this document will become the most important thing in your life. It'll become the easiest thing to believe. That's why so many people have such trouble in the areas of faith. They ain't sure of this yet. They're not sure of this yet. You got to become sure of this thing. This is a legal document. You can't sit and listen to people and say, oh yeah, that Bible, but that was okay for back then, but today things have changed. When they said that, I know that's the devil's voice speaking. I know that that's the devil's talking. It's just like when I hear a man say, no, the Constitution isn't good, we need a new Constitution, that's the devil's voice speaking. I want to sin and not be under any kind of legal thing to deal with what I'm doing. And this is what people do. They're trying to throw out what's true and what's right and what's holy. They're trying to throw it out. See, when I believe this book's true, then the value of this book to me, changes completely. You know, before it's a nice book. Oh, this is the good book. Oh, yes. You know, do you ever read the good book? Well, most people that call this the good book don't mean nothing to them. This is the covenant of God. These are God's words. This is Jesus Christ who is the Word of God. He breathed these things. He breathed these things. He's the living Word of God. This is what He inspired people to write down, to give to you and me about what He's given us. Where our stance is with God. What God has done for us. This is all in there. Is it true or is it a fiction? Now, spiritually, this is a sound document. This deals with the area of the spirit. And that's why men try to understand it through the human mind rather than through the born-again heart. It becomes a confusing thing. Men trying to reason it out in their mind. This is a book that is founded under the principles of God's kingdom and how God's kingdom works and how you get God's kingdom to manifest into this natural realm. Through it, men who don't see a God, believe on a God, confess in the Lord Jesus Christ and got born again. I got born again. Why? That legal document. That legal document. There's never been one individual who ever believed in Jesus in his heart and called on the name of Jesus who didn't get born again. That is a legal document that heaven stands behind every time. Every person. Jesus Himself took our infirmities, He bore our sicknesses. Jesus took our sins. That is founded in a legal document. That legal document states that those things were done. So they become true. To me, I believe they're true. That's a legal. I don't believe God can lie. I don't believe that that can't be true. And see, putting faith in that, when one puts faith in it, it works every time. No person ever believed the Word of God and did what it said and it didn't work. That never happened. Now, there's a lot of lying Christians. So I just don't understand. I did what the Bible said. It didn't work. No, you didn't do what the Bible said. Because that, if that legal document and you legally did what it said, and it doesn't, if you did go around to God and you did what He said, you walked good and He locked you up in jail, God's a liar. You got to come down to that fact. I learned a long time ago, listening to Kenneth Hagin when I was a young Christian, I just learned, he said, look, if things ain't working for you, it's your fault. It ain't God's fault. It's your fault. He didn't say in a condemnation. He said it's your fault. You got to find out what you need to do. You go to the covenant. You go to that legal document and you find out. You begin to search that thing and find out what you need to know to do to get it working, whatever God wants you to work. Now, I found that took time. And I found this out. Most people don't like that. It requires time. Most people are too busy. They don't have time. But I will tell you something. Problems will take your time. I will guarantee it. You know, you might go along and say, I don't have time for it, but I always find this out. You know, I've had people and that stuff, you know, and people sometimes would come to church, you wouldn't see them for months on end, and then they'd come to church, and then all of a sudden, you know, I get a call for them, they're going, but I don't understand why I'm in trouble. I said, I don't know why you don't understand. I understand it completely. You don't follow God for 10 minutes only when it suits you, and now you turn around and wonder why things don't work. You know, give me a break. When they call me and say, oh, no, you pray for me and fix my problems. Hold it, hold it. There's nowhere in the covenant teaches that. The covenant does not teach. The covenant has these ridiculous words in it like, you're going to reap what you sow. Crazy things like that the Christians don't believe. Oh, I'm a Christian. That wasn't written for me. That ain't in my covenant. I'm sorry. That wasn't in my... Maybe that was just for you. I don't know. But it wasn't in mine. But we look at this thing as a legal document. This is wonderful because I ain't got none of this in my notes. I got good notes up here we could be teaching on. But I just knew when I got up here today that something was going to happen. Anyhow, but if we need to look from a legal standpoint because we want to teach on the name of Jesus. And if you don't understand it and you don't look at this as a legal document and you don't understand about the authority of a name, if this thing isn't a legal document and his name didn't carry out what it said it did, there is no point and even going over to it. There's no point to you to even have any kind of reason that you might be saved. We're saved because we followed a legal document. When you legally followed that document, then what happened to us is exactly what the document stated would take place. But not until you legally followed it. That's why many people today never get saved. Preachers say, yes, Jesus in your heart, do this. People don't even use the name of Jesus anymore. They just, you know, it's not even, people don't even, we don't confess Jesus as Lord. Most Christians don't even know what it means to make Jesus Lord. I had a woman tell me one time, and you know, she said she was a Christian for how many years. She said she's a Christian. And she said, you know, really, she said, my life didn't change till I made Jesus Christ my Lord. And I didn't tell her, but I was going to say to her, you never were saved all those years. You thought you were saved. Why did her life change? She only got born again when she made Jesus Lord. The Bible says you make Jesus Lord. Paul wrote that you confess the Lord Jesus or confess Jesus as Lord. That's how you get saved. You make Him your Lord. Understand, without the Lordship of Jesus, this thing don't work. This is why the covenant don't work for so many people. Jesus ain't Lord. Jesus ain't Lord. He's a problem fixer. Jesus is Lord. See, Jesus ain't Lord in the church hardly any anymore. You can go to churches, big churches they call good churches, and Jesus ain't Lord anymore. Jesus is a sidekick, your buddy, or whatever else it is, but He's no longer Lord. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is God, and He's got to be brought back to His position again in the church. He's the one that makes this document work. And it ain't sitting around and treating Him. See, I found this out, you know, when I, years ago, worked at Reese Candy Company. And I found this out, you know, when you got put in a leadership position. I found out why in leadership position, you know, they always used to say that. Don't have friends among the people. Oh, and people hate that the most. They don't like it, you know, because, you know, the people that were your friends, this is the whole purpose. But most people, when you get in a leadership position who are your friends, they expect you to treat them differently and use your authority to do things for them. And I found this out. You couldn't have friends. People used to get mad at me. Or at work, you do this. And I used to sit down and tell them, at work, I work for the company. I ain't working for you. You get this thing straight. And when you're at the company, I'm your supervisor. I'm not your buddy. You answer to me as a supervisor. You don't answer me. Answer to me as your good friend who gets something special. You don't get that. And see, this is what people do. Jesus in the church has been lowered down to where He's only human today. I want to let you know this. If you only know Jesus from the Gospels, you don't know Jesus. The Jesus in the Gospel operated just as a man. He didn't operate as God. But I'm going to tell you today He's operating as God. You better know Jesus the God. Because if you don't, it's going to cost you. He's the supervisor in charge, and you best treat Him as such. You treat Him as such. He's Lord of heaven and earth. You know, I could puke. They get these sweatshirts and t-shirts I've seen people wear. You know, Jesus is my homeboy. I'm going to tell you what, don't let me see anybody with it on. I'm going to tell you what, I'll cast the devil out of them, those evil things. He ain't somebody's homeboy. He ain't saying, oh, you know, treating Jesus, lowering Jesus. What makes this document so incredible is who backs it. And it ain't some homeboy. It ain't some sidekick of Ed Gibson's. This is Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, and everything under the earth, and every knee bows to Him. I'm going to tell you what, I had Jesus come into my car one day, and I'm going to tell you what, He wasn't my homeboy. I'm going to tell you, Ed was humbled. Because I'll tell you what, how many times you see Jesus appear to people and you hear people talk about it, people fall on their face, people get down on their knees. You don't find none of this other junk garbage going on in the church world today, this trash about Jesus. They don't know Jesus. Most ministers have no clue who He is. They talk about Him like He's a foreigner. He shouldn't be a foreigner to us. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. And he should have high esteem. He's the one that backs this thing of this covenant. If we don't understand that, if He's just one of your buddies or your friends, you won't think nothing about covenant and you'll get nothing out of it. It's who backs this thing is what makes this covenant the most valuable thing. It's the one. Does He have the power? What does He have the power to do? You don't have the power to save yourself. It wouldn't be for Him, you wouldn't be saved. How could we lower Him down to make Him like me? I, the only goodness that I have in me, I've gotten from Him. And see, when we honor Him in like the way that He should be honored, I'll tell you, that covenant becomes valuable to us. These are His words, and it no longer matters to me what the words of men say or what men think about it. I don't care. I don't care what men say about it. I don't care what men think. It doesn't matter anymore. It's what Jesus Christ has said. It's that value. And see, when you honor Him of who He is, He's the one who defeated Satan. Satan ain't troubled by you other than that if you walk in faith in the name of Jesus. He ain't interested in you. He don't care what you got. He ain't paying no attention. The power to deal with Him is in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, in my name you'll cast out devils. He didn't say you'd cast out devils. He said, in my name you would. What causes the devil to leave? It's the name of Jesus. It ain't you. He said, in my name you'll cast them out. In my name you'll do that. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. He didn't say these signs will follow the sinners or anybody that hangs around and wants to do what Jesus wants. There's only people under the covenant this stuff follows. This follows people that are following this covenant. People who are in this covenant. It don't follow anybody else. It follows believers. The signs follow the believers. The believers have a right to use the name of Jesus. Now, we talked about the power of attorney. And I just want to explain something to you about the power of attorney that you need to understand and get this about the power of attorney. Because if you understand, when this lawyer made the statement to E.W. Kenyon about this, it's important. This lawyer's talking about legal terms. He said, legally, from a legal perspective, he said, if words mean anything, well, do they mean anything? Do these words in this book mean anything? That's a decision you and I have to make. You come to the place of where you put these words in your thought or into your believing. You decide that. God can't decide that for you. You decide. But he said, if words mean anything, in other words, if these words in this book mean anything, under this covenant mean anything, well then it's telling us that Jesus gave the church this authority as if you know, the power of attorney. Now, let's say Mike was going to go somewhere for a number of months. Him and Darlene are going there someplace for a number of months. They're going to leave and go away. Now, they have certain things they want done, or maybe say certain bills to be paid or things are done. And Mike would come to me and say, look, Ed, I'm going to set up an account here, and I want to know if you'll do something for it. We're going to put money in here to pay bills. Now, I'm going to give you the power of attorney over this account. On this account, I'm going to give you the power of attorney, and you can pay those bills. Now, so what that means, or it does, in other words, Mike would set up an account, and there would be checks made to that account, or whatever it is, how they were ever going to do the payment. But let's say checks were used. And so those checks. So we would go to an attorney. We would have to sign papers. Mike would have to say, look, and give me authority to use his account. Now understand this. It's not my account. It's still Mike's account. But Mike has given me the authority to use his account to pay these bills. Or to pay these. Mike gave it to me. Okay? Now understand this. The account is still Mike's account. It's Mike's account. The power of attorney amounts to this. When I am signing my name on that check to pay a bill, it's like Mike signing that check. The authority that counts, Mike's. I have just been given the authority to sign the check out of that account to pay that, but that's Mike's account. In other words, I'm doing it in Mike's name. That's what I'm doing it in. I'm doing it in Mike's name. See, you need to understand that. The account that we're dealing out of is a Jesus' account. Jesus gave you and I the right to sign checks out of his account. And here's, you got to get a hold of this. You ain't going to write any checks any bigger than you believe that covenant. You ain't going to write any checks any bigger. You will never write a check bigger than you believe that that covenant puts out. This is where Christians, this is the problem in Christianity. See, when we lower Jesus down, well, what is the value of this name? What is behind it? I want you to understand this, folks. All authority in heaven and earth and under the earth. Jesus don't have some authority. Jesus has all authority. All authority. That's in the covenant. It's in the covenant. If I looked over, and just let me look at this into Philippians. Maybe we'll get somewhere where I was supposed to. I thought I was going. I don't know. We'll find out, but I'm having fun anyhow. So, hallelujah. Let's go over to Philippians and look at something here. I'll get there yet. Let's look at Philippians to 2, I think it is where I want to go. Listen to this. In Philippians 2 and verse 9 says this, Therefore God also. Now this is something God did. God, what he did? God has highly exalted him. Now, God highly exalted Jesus. Given him, God is highly exalted, given him the name which is above every name. Above every name. Now, this is a name which is above every name. Now, Mike's name is not above every name. Mike's name is wherever his, whatever his stuff is or what he has. Now, Jesus' name is a different name. This name is above every name. See, Mike couldn't give me anything, a name which is above every name. He couldn't do that. He don't have the authority to do it. He ain't got the stuff back in him to do it. I don't care if he's a billionaire, you know, he can only operate within the sphere of what's his. This is God. Now, you want to argue over this one? People can argue over it and say anything they want. God gave him a name which is above every name. That's what it says here. These are the words. These are covenant words spoken out of this legal document. This is legally sound. In the realm of the spirit, the devil knows it. It said he disarmed principalities. That's why it says you can cast out devils. The reason you can cast out devils in the name of Jesus, because he has authority over every one of them. Listen to this. So he's highly exalted. Give a name above every name. What? Now listen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those where? In heaven. Of those on earth. And of those under the earth. There is no spiritual being in heaven, earth, or under the earth that is not going to have to bow to that name. Now, we have a choice. By faith, if you believe this, we bow our knee. Now, there's people that won't bow their knee. Right now they won't, but they will. It'll come a day, everybody. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, after the church is gone and the tribulation, when he steps down in this earth, every knee will bow. I will guarantee it. There's going to be people biting the dust dead bowing. If you don't bow because, you know, you have good sense, you will drop dead. Because every person that will not bow to him is going to be dead and removed off the face of the earth. Why? Legal document. Legal document. See these knuckleheads that run around, well, everybody's going to be saved. Yeah, everybody but them for sure. Because they ain't going to be. I won't care. Anybody preaching that stuff's going to end in hell. No person, I don't care if they got born again. You go lying to people about the gospel and telling things. I don't care if you got born again one time. You buy this gospel and you go tell people and send them off to hell, you're going to be there. I will guarantee it just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning. People better repent of this stuff that they're preaching and saying out here. All kinds of nutty stuff. You don't go around and tell people, yeah, you don't matter whoever you are, everybody's going to end up in heaven. Yeah. But we found out that this name qualifies that the fact that this name was given to him, and there's no other name that is higher. There is no other name. There's not another name that's given that's higher. In other words, we got to understand this. If there's a document that is a legal document written that he oversees in this, then therefore this is the highest name. We know this. It's going to engulf greater things. Better things. You know, where Mike and his worth, or what he has, or what he could set, where a person would have, you know, he could establish a legal right for them to handle for him. What about Jesus? He is the Lord of heaven and earth and under the earth. He's the Lord of all. He is the Lord of all. What's behind this name? What is this name? What this contract tells us? Look, we're seated, it says, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what the word says. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For Jesus is seated where? Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Every power, every might, every dominion, Jesus Christ is above it all. And the Bible tells us that we're seated together with Him. Why? The covenant. You're seated in that place under His name. You're not seated in that place because you deserve to be there or anything you have done. You don't qualify. The only reason you get to sit there is because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you understand this, I get healed by faith in the name of Jesus. I get healed because of Him. See, I just write a check out for healing is mine. When I'm signing it, I'm signing on to His account. It's His account. It ain't Ed's account. This document that was written for us and gave us heirship to it came from Him. The legal rights and everything lay in Him. It lies in Him, not in us. In Him. That's what He said. You go preach the Gospels. These signs will follow in My name. Why? God responds to that name. I just want to show you. We want to go over to the Gospel of John. I want you to see something there to the Gospel of John, what Jesus spoke. Now I want you to understand. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of John. Make sure I get it. Okay. Reading from the Gospel of John. Now I want you to get this. This is Jesus the night that He's betrayed in chapter 16. A good part of the Gospel of John is written about that night. He is preparing these guys for a new covenant. He's preparing them for a new covenant. He's getting them ready for the new covenant. These guys see trouble coming on the horizon, but He's preparing them. Listen, in verse 22, listen what he says. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you. Jesus is talking about him leaving. He said, but you guys are going to see me again. I'm leaving, but you're going to see me again. He said, your joy, you're going to have joy. He said, this joy. This joy, he said, no one can, concerning that joy, he said, your joy, no one will take from you. I want you to understand this. Nobody can take the joy of the Lord from you. Oh, but you don't know what they did to me. No, you didn't. No, they didn't take it. You gave it up. Let's get it right where it's at. If you don't have joy, let's just get where it hits the road. You're the problem. You don't have joy, you the problem. See, I read these a long time ago, and I found out this guy Ed is some trouble sometimes. Ed's problem. When I started dealing with Ed being the problem, there's a lot of things got straightened out. Well, I quit thinking about somebody else being my problem. But Ed was the problem. Okay, nobody can take his joy from you. Now listen to what he says. In that day, he's talking of the day of his visitation to men after this death is going to take place. This is what he's talking about. After he said, in that day, the day upon his resurrection, when they see him again, things now change. See, these guys are operating under the old covenant. Now, under that old covenant, God sure did some blessing on Israel if they walked in the light of that. But this new covenant, now he said, and in that day, he said, you will ask me nothing, or you're not going to ask me for anything. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. What does that say? When that day comes, and the day what? Of this new covenant, this new legal document starts. This new legal document takes off. On that day, once that day starts, see, he's talking to believers. These guys are believers. And he knows this. They're going to come over. They're going to believe on him being raised from the dead because he's going to show himself. They're going to know that Jesus, and they're going to go preach this gospel to whoever believes on him. See, this thing follows. This thing just follows off. He said, when that day comes, you don't have to ask me for anything anymore. You don't have to ask me. Now listen what he says. What account is he operating out of? He's operating out of the account of the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father gave, you know, I've never preached this or heard anybody ever say it till just now I got a revelation on it. God made Jesus Christ the attorney over his own account of everything. Because all authority in heaven and earth is now given to Jesus. It will be returned to the Father after everything's cleared up, after the millennium's over and all that kind of stuff. Everything turns back to the Father. The Bible says so. But until that time, Jesus is power of attorney over everything the Father has. Which means, where do you fit into this? If you're in Him and seated in heavenly places. This account can be drawn on. When you use the name of Jesus, when you use that name, because he says here, you ask me, he said, if you ask the Father anything, now listen, he said, most assuredly. In other words, if you look up in the Greek what that most assuredly means, that would be like me sitting in a court of law and swearing that I would tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what that means. If you look in the Greek, that's what it's talking about. We would make it. He said assuredly, in other words, for sure, this is the way it is. Now, for sure, this is the way it is. Well, what way is it? Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, he said, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. Jesus Christ was given authority over all that the Father has. And he told the church this. I'm delegating authority to you that if you use my name, in other words, you sign the check with my name, you're allowed to do that. You are allowed to do it. See, the church won't do it. You know, who am I? You know, who am I to sign the check? You know, who am I? Just, we're unworthy. Me. That's right, unworthy Ed, but I'm going to put Jesus' name on it and get it. You and I get to say, anything that I ask the Father in Jesus' name, the Word says that God would give it to me. Now the church has added all kinds of things to that. The church has added, well, if it's God's will, and if it's this, and if you believe any of that junk, then throw your Bible away today because it ain't going to work for you. Is this covenant true or not? Did Jesus lie to these people? I'll say, well, God would never give you anything bad. Don't you tell me that. God gave Israel a king and he told them it wasn't going to work for him and he gave it to them. How did it work out? There's many people have gotten what they've asked God for, and that's their problem. You know, we should have some maturity about what we'd ask for, you know? You know, when your kids are little, they ask for everything under the sun. And today, parents try their best to do it all too and ruin their lives. They do their best, they destroy their kids' lives and then are asking everybody else to pray for their kids to try to straighten it out after they done ruined the kid's life. Good preaching, Ed. You need to watch what you ask God for. People all the time get things they shouldn't have. They believe God for it and they get it. You know, as Randy Greer said, you gotta, for what you obtain, you gotta maintain. And he said, you gotta watch what you believe for. You know, I've seen people do this like crazy. I believe in God. They want a big house. They get a big house, and then they turn around, the tax bill says comes due, and I can't afford to pay my taxes. You realize how many people do that kind of stuff? You know how many Christians do that stuff? Sure, they believe God. They believe God, and God helps them get the house. That's what they said they wanted. But I gotta believe God to keep that thing running. That big house takes a lot. It takes a lot of money to run a big place. See, people are believing God for things, but you got to watch what you believe for. You got to know the limits of your faith of what you can do is how you can operate in this covenant. You got to use good sense. You know, if you can't believe God for $1,000, you know, don't start getting over there to something big that you can't. You know, if you can't believe for, you know, $6,000 tax bill, you know, you don't want the big house. You know, or you just better have some rich friends or mom and daddy who just take care of you after you do all your dumb stuff, you know, because they're foolish. Well, see, people do those kinds of things all the time. But see, it says there that, I mean, it's clearly stated, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you, whatever you ask. Jesus didn't qualify. He didn't turn around and make up some other kind of statement to please the religious people. Because thank God they weren't there at the time. And so He didn't even bother talking. He didn't tell the disciples. He just told them what was going to happen. He went on to say, He said, these things I've spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. Now listen to what He says. I'm going to tell you plainly. This day is coming. See, in this new day it's coming, God's speaking plainly. In other words, this day that we're in today, God's talking plainly to us. See, God talked in figurative speech to Israel under the old covenant. But now God speaks straight. This is a straight talk. And here's some straight talk. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. In other words, I don't have to ask God for you. I'm not going. Don't ask Jesus to ask God to do something for you that is unscriptural in the covenant, that is not legal to do. You know, I remember, you know, and I'm not knocking the Catholics, but I remember, you know, and a Catholic woman saying to me, and I talked to her about why this bit of praying to Mary. Well, we ask Mary to ask Jesus to do things because it's His mama. She'd never turn them down. I want you, they're wrong on both points. Jesus don't answer your prayers. The Father does. There's Christians sitting around praying to Jesus. Jesus said, if you want something, you don't pray to me about it. You ask the Father for it. Why? It's in the Father's account. How do I get it out of the Father's account? Do I have to convince the Father? I don't have to convince Daddy of nothing. He said, if I use His name, I can get anything out of the account I want. That's what He said. I can get anything out of the account. Anything. Now I can't. I have to be able to get what's in that account. Well, there's one thing. I mean, everything God has is in that account. All the blessings. See, God wants people to prosper. He wants people well. You know, anybody comes along and say, well, God didn't heal me for a reason. That's the biggest lie on the face of the earth. God don't have no sick account. There ain't no sickness in God's account. There's only healing. See, people never went into the count. They never believed when God ever gave it to them. They're still trying to get it. They're looking for somebody else's account, I guess. I don't know what it is. But understand, God gave it to you. It's in the account. So Jesus makes a statement. That day, he said, you'll ask in my name in that day. And I do not say you to you that I shall pray the Father for you. He said, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from him. Though I came from God. Why? I can ask in the name of Jesus. I don't have to sidestep. I don't have to go and find out if it's okay from, you know, some minister out here that I can get healed. I can find out if it's okay from him. Or I have to find. I can go myself to God. That's why when somebody gets born again, what they do, they confess Jesus is Lord. They don't have to go get somebody else to do it for them. Somebody else can't do it for you. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. All that Jesus has and all that he operates out of is what the Father has. Now, how much of a God do you got? Most people ain't got much of a God. They ain't got much of a covenant. God don't have too much for them. Up in heaven, God got the measles and he's sick and he's coughing and he's doing stuff. And, you know, heaven's full of, you know, junk up there. And, you know, heaven got murderers, you know, that come down and kill your kids. And heaven got all that stuff, you know. So a lot of church world has a heaven that's a bad place. That's what's, you don't want to go to the heaven bank. My God, don't tell them what you're going to come out with. You might come out with something absolute. You know, Jesus, now look what Jesus said. Jesus made the statement. He said, heathens, evil people, people who are godless. He said, don't you give good gifts to your kids? He said, does your kid come and ask for bread? He's hungry and you give him a stone? Well, you know, I prayed and asked God for a good car. He gave me this junker. I think he's trying to teach me something. No, you took the junker. You decided that one. It wasn't God. You took the first thing that came along. You operated out of your ability instead of his. You went to your account instead of his account. You got to learn to do this, folks. You got to learn to walk in. And I'm not saying any condemnation of this, but you got to awake to the fact of what's been going on. I awoke when I was back as a young Christian when Kenneth Hagin said that the problem, he said, that people have in their life is they made them themselves. He said, you're going to write the check for your life. You're writing the checks. God's not writing the checks. You are. You write the checks. You decide when you write the check. You know, I've seen this long. I will guarantee you. You go believe God for something, and the first thing that'll show up is from the devil. And people usually take it. Well, I need something right now, so I'm going to take that. I need something right now, so I'm just going to take that. You know, I'm just willing just to have that. We won't stop this. That's why I listen to Mike and that patience thing. You don't take nothing till you get what you ask for. The Father is not going to give you or shove something in your face that you didn't ask for. He's better than the evil people. We believe our daddy is more evil than the evil people in this earth. We think God gives people bad stuff. You know, God don't have to kill me. Ed could do a good job himself. You need to understand it, folk. See, we need to get over and get into right thinking. So when we come to prayer, God said, in the name of Jesus, Jesus told his disciples, unqualified. I mean, it is as legal. Is that a legal statement? See, if you read those scriptures and you start thinking about them in your mind, I'll guarantee you what you'll come up with. You'll start a new religion and you'll add things to it that it don't say. You'll add stuff to it about things that you can't have or that. Now, number one, if there's evil things and you are, I can just ask some evil thing, you're a nut to begin with to even think like that. Do you think God's going to, if you're any kind of decent person and you're under this covenant, are you going to be asking God for crazy stuff like somebody else's wife or husband or anything? I don't think people, Christians, are doing that. They say, oh, well, you can, I've had people say to me, well, you couldn't ask God for this. And I used to think, are you a complete idiot? Why would you think so stupid? See, Jesus was talking to sensible people when he said that. He wasn't talking to the charismatics of today, the fruits, nuts, and flakes. As Charles Capp said, they were granola Christians. And that's what we got. We ain't got nothing but a bunch of granola Christians. When somebody says that stuff to me and says, you'd ask God, well, you ought to ask God to kill this guy over here. Hold it. How stupid can you think? How dumb can you get? I'm a Christian. I'm not an idiot like you. Get born again. Get your life straightened out. You won't think so crazy. Why would you want something evil anyhow? And understand this. This is not written to unbelievers. An unbeliever cannot do this. This is completely for people who are in the covenant. This is why people don't get saved. We've told them you can just be a Christian living like hell today. We've taught them, and none of this. All of this is written for everybody. No, it's not. This is written for those in the covenant. It's written for those in the covenant. It's not there to work. Nobody who isn't born again has no right to ask the Father for anything because He's not their Father. When they die, they will go to be with their Father. And it won't be our Heavenly Father. If they don't get saved, they don't get to go there. Their Father, they get the stuff their Father has. We get the stuff our Father has. That's what this thing's about. Jesus has the authority to all of God's account. Everything. Everything in heaven, everything bows to Him. In heaven, folks, the Father gave up all legal rights of His own stuff. Father God doesn't control heaven other than through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the voice that God uses in all the universe of heaven, earth, and under the earth to do whatever is done. And it's all can be done only in His name. You need to understand that. If I want anything that the Father has, I want anything that this covenant says I can have, I must approach the Father under the authority of Jesus Christ under that name, or I can't get it. I can't get it. It's under the authority. It isn't under the authority of the Father anymore. If it's still under the authority of the Father, then this whole thing's a lie. This covenant's a worthless thing. Jesus doesn't have all authority. He doesn't. This is all a big lie. I'm going to tell you, it's not a lie. Jesus did what He did, and when He left this earth, He didn't take His name out. He didn't take His name out. Hallelujah. That's why He said to these people, that's why He told them, He said, you guys go out and preach this gospel. Whoever believes in My name, you're going to cast out devils. You'll speak with new tongues. See, any believer can speak in tongues. They have a right to in the name of Jesus. I see people running around trying to speak in tongues and trying to do things. What are you trying it for? My words, you can speak in tongues in the name of Jesus. Is God going to hold it back? Well, no, He'd never hold it back from you. In the name of Jesus, you can speak with them. See, in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on the sick and they're recovered. If people believe that, if people believe concerning the authority of the name. See, most Christians out here, they're waiting for a special healing ministry. You know, God gives special anointings to people, but you don't need it. Go operate in faith in the name. People get healed by the name, authority in the name of Jesus. Jesus told the disciples, you have the authority to lay hands on people. You have the authority in My name to lay hands on people and they get healed. He said, you have the authority. Well, see, what people do is people go and they pray and they try to figure out how to do a nice long prayer, or try to figure out all this stuff they can say and do, and they're straining trying to believe God. They don't get healed that way. They get healed by you believing that the name of Jesus will do what it said. And see, that's why the authority of this name, and that's why, you know, is opening. I see why God led in the direction. This has to become a legal document to you. It has to be. And we have to believe it the way that it's said. Things have been preached and twisted around and everything else. Christians out here, they don't even know who to pray to. Most Christians haven't got it. Loads of Christians I've had over time tell me about their praying to Jesus and all that. I talk to Jesus at times, but I don't pray. If I want something, I ask the Father in the name of Jesus. My prayers are to the Father. I don't ever pray to the devil. I ain't fighting devils or whatever it is or people are doing. I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. When I'm over praying in tongues, I'm not in some kind of whatever there was, warring tongues they used to call it and all that. No, the Bible says when I speak in an unknown tongue, I'm not speaking to men but unto God. See, I read the Bible. Most of those people never did, but they started religious things that have destroyed people's faith and got everybody whacked out. And they call it Christianity, and it's a false religion. It's false religion. We don't have to come up with gimmicks, folks. Go ask Daddy in Jesus' name. It ain't so complicated. Hallelujah. He made it simple for us. You got born again. You have the authority of that name. And he said this. He didn't make any big deal over this. I was going to tell you guys, well, after this resurrection thing and you guys see me again, are you ever going to be happy? Why are you going to be so happy? The reason you're going to be so happy, anything you ask God in my name, you're going to get it. Anything you need that heaven got. What had Jesus told Peter? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If anything happens in this earth, it's up to the church to determine that. It's not determined by God. It's determined by the church. We write the checks in the earth. God ain't written a check down here since Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He ain't written one check. The church is the check writer down here. Jesus ain't writing checks. Jesus said, just like Mike don't have to sign that check when he's far away. He said, Ed, sign the check. It'll come out of my account. It'll take care of whatever it is needs to be taken care of. That's what we do. What do I need down here? Hallelujah. What is it that I want down here? What is it that in the book says belongs to me? Whatever it is, I'll tell you what, you call it in Jesus' name. You call it in. Hallelujah. We don't have to look for somebody else. We don't have to do something else. Glory to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can do it. See, we take communion. What was communion about? Communion! He said, do this as often as you do it in what remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. See, you got to remember Jesus. Keep Jesus. I tell you, the only reason you got anything is because of Jesus. The only reason you and I can have anything is because we have the title to the name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, demons bow. Demons ain't scared of Ed, but I'm going to tell you what, Ed with the name of Jesus is a bad thing. I'll tell you what, the devil knows it. Man, it's a knockout punch. Anybody who's ever seen demonic powers in the spirit, I've seen myself in dreams and different things, and I've seen myself in visions speak to demonic powers, and every time I have never spoke to a demonic power in a dream or in a vision or everything, they didn't obey me. Never one time. Every time they obeyed. Every time. You ever see in the spirit realm? They obey you. Everybody that I ever know has any good sense it. Probably didn't just have a pizza dream or something like that. I'm talking about people with real visions and dreams. It's always the same thing. They speak to demons, they bow. They absolutely tremble. You say that name, man, that's the knockout punch. They can't stand against the name. Why? Because all authority in heaven and earth. All authority. See, this is why the church can change things here in America. We can stop a lot of this demonic stuff that's going on. But the church isn't using the name. The church is trying to use the vote. They're trying to do all... Hey, the vote, there's nothing wrong with voting. But I'm going to tell you what. You need to use the name of Jesus. The church needs to stand up against this demonic stuff that's going on. We need to stop letting it go on in our lives. We need to stop saying, devil, you ain't running me over no more. This thing's over in the name of Jesus. Because if you try to run me over, you got to run Jesus and Daddy over, and that ain't happening. That will never take place. So you get sold on this thing and this covenant you got. This is a legal covenant. This is a legal document. And everything that thing says is true. Don't make up stuff and add things to it. Quit listening. If you listen to a preacher, he tells one, you can't take that thing literally. You turn him off. If you got to throw your TV out the window, bless God, do it. But quit listening to the trash. Quit listening to these people making excuses for the Word of God and why it don't work. Oh, this didn't work well. No, it didn't work because Ed was a nut. Ed just didn't do what was right. But every time Ed's got in line, it's worked. Every time I line up with that legal covenant and I get in line and start doing what it says, I want to tell you, I can be out there and it looks like nothing's going on. And my patience maybe seem like it's really getting stretched, but on the inside, I know I'm a winner. And on the inside, I know. And I'll never forget that day after I had a heart attack and I was running down the road. And I remember the devil's voice speaking to me and telling me about I was going to die. He said, what are the people in the church going to say? They find you along the road dead. Inside of me, I'm going to tell you. I said, devil, you have no authority and you have no say in this. I don't belong to you. I belong to God in the name of Jesus. And I told him, just as like Jesus told him, he said, you can't take my life. I give it. See, people are under that covenant. This covenant, they couldn't take Jesus' life. They had no authority to do it. Jesus gave his life. And I told the devil running down the road, and it works. It's legal. I said, you don't own my life. You don't have it. You can't take my life. My life belongs to God. And I kept running down the road, feeling like a dead man. But inside of me, my joy was full. Inside I knew I had it. Inside I knew he couldn't take my life. He couldn't do that. He didn't hold my life. He doesn't own my life. My body's been paid for by God. It ain't been paid for by the devil. I read the legal document. But now I have to act on it in faith. And you know what? Your patience get out there, because I tell you what, you're running down the road and you feel like you're dead. But hallelujah. I'll tell you, I put up with that for about 10 minutes or so, of that running down the road. I'll tell you, feeling worse than what I was when I started. And I'll tell you, I felt like I was dying, but on the inside I knew, he ain't going to kill me. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do this thing. I ain't going to let the devil take my life. I'm not going to allow it. God gave it to me. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep this thing. And I'm running down the road, and all of a sudden, I'll never forget, I hit the place of 1 mile marker. I used to have this run I do, and a certain, I had these miles marked off. And I knew where, and I came to this one intersection, was the first mile marker. When I crossed over that first mile marker, every symptom left my body. I'll tell you what, I was completely whole, running down the road laughing. Hallelujah, devil, you lost this one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I was determined in that thing. See, your joy's full. He doesn't have authority. You read those things. Too many people are adding too much. We have so much teaching today. Coming out of people used to teach good. Are teaching a lot of excuse stuff and a lot of things that is nothing but this weakness. We weren't taught that. Back in the 80s, we were taught good stuff. We were taught you were victorious. We were taught that you're an overcomer. We were taught those things. Not today. It's like, well, we're just getting back, Christian. It's awful down here, and the devil's going to lick us good before we get out of here. All things are getting so bad here in America. Who knows what they're going to do to us? Who knows what it's going to do to them? I'm going to bless them. I'm going to bless them. Hallelujah. I'm going to cast devils out of people in these last days. I might start in the church, but hallelujah. We don't get them out of the church when I'm in trouble getting them out of the people out there. Hallelujah. But we're going to stand against them because we have authority. People ain't going to stay bound no more. Hallelujah. This, I was praying last night. I wasn't going to go over this, but it just came up in me. I was praying last night. See, that back in April 17th, 1991, that was a Wednesday. And 10:30 at night, I'm sitting there minding my own business, just studying some things for a sermon for Sunday. And I'm just sitting there minding my own business on Sunday, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me inside, and he said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen in Lebanon Valley. He said, in the end times, I'm going to show you. Well, he took me over, he said, go over to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. He told me exactly where to go. I went over to, and he's had me, I want you to read about Elijah. When Elijah came out, came out of the wilderness, and when he came out and went to Ahab, and the Lord took me through things. And first thing was, he said, the Lord said to me, it's going to happen. When I got to the part about the fire of God falling, he said, the fire of God is going to fall, and he said, it's going to burn the sin up. He said, the church is going to repent. I never thought the church was going to be, I thought the church had squirrely stuff going on then. I never thought the church would be as pagan as it is today. But God, he said, the fire of God's going to fall, and it's going to drive, it's going to burn up the sin in the church, and people are going to start repenting. See, the first move, part of the move of God is straightening the church out, not the world. You can try to straight Obama out all you want. God wants to get the church straightened out. That's number one on his agenda. Get the church straight. Hallelujah. Ed's part of the church, so Ed needs to get straightened out. Ed needs to get himself in line. Well, you do too. And he told me. And what happened when the fire fell? What did those people do? They started to repent. What did they do? They killed the 400 prophets of Baal. They killed them. They put away, God said, he said, the church is going to put away sin. Then what happened? Then the rain came. We're praying for rain, and the rain ain't coming till the fire comes in the church. We need fire in the church. We need the fire come back to scare the tar out of a few Christians, to scare the sin out of the church again. We need the fire to fall. We need fire to come. I tell you, fire won't kill you. I've had it fall on me already. Change your life. Hallelujah. I want fire. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, fire showed up. Hallelujah. You want a dove? Go ahead. Go down to the stockyard or someplace and buy some pigeons when they have an auction off or whatever. But I'm just going to tell you, I want fire. Hallelujah. Because we need fire back in the church. If fire comes back to the church again, there'll be rain. Hallelujah. And last night he talked to me about that again, and I got over just praying. I said, Lord, it's time. And God told me, you start praying about this. You need to start praying about it. It's time for fire. It's time for the fire to fall in America again. In our valley here, God has a plan for this valley, down through this valley here, and it's a plan. And we're supposed to start calling for fire. We want the fire of God to fall on the church again. We want the church to turn itself back to God. If the church turns back to God, I'll guarantee you the rain will come. He said to me this, when the rain started, he said Elijah got a new anointing on him and he outran the chariot. He said the church is going to outrun the world in these last days. We're not going to be run over by this administration. We're going to run over them, and Jesus is hauling us out. Whoa! Glory to God. That's what's going to be taking place. Hallelujah. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. People are waiting to go on under. It ain't going under. Hallelujah. I got another race to run. Hallelujah. I might seem out of breath. I might look like I'm going to drop over. But I'm going to tell you what. I believe the vision I had. I believe what God said to me is going to happen. But folks, it ain't going to happen till we get before Him and keep asking for it. Saying this is what we want. The covenant's no good. God's word's no good to you until you demand it. And you put the demand on it. People are sitting around, well, if God wants to do it, He will. We'll just forget it, die, and go home to be with Jesus. Because it don't matter. We have to demand it. I've started last night, I just spent time calling on God. God, you said these things to me. You spoke. I know you talked to me about this stuff. And I'm calling you. It's time for the fire. You said it's time for the fire. I'm agreeing with you. It's time for the fire. It's time for Ed to burn up, and all that's left after the fire is just God. No more Ed, just God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You need the same. There's too much of you. Hallelujah. There's more of you than you need. Hallelujah. But Lord, it's not an ugly thing. It's a good thing. I find it's good when I get rid of me off the scene on a lot of things, it gets better. Hallelujah. When I let more God come through than Ed come through, it's better. Hallelujah. And that's what fire will do. Hallelujah. Fire burns up what you don't need. The Bible says, what it talks about reward. What is the fire? The straw, all that chaff, all that gets burned up. But whatever is, you know, the good stuff, the gold, that don't burn up. Hallelujah. That stuff don't burn up. Well, see, they're really good. The spiritual things, what is really spiritual ain't about you, ain't going to burn up. What's going to burn up is all that other stuff that we hold dear on us. That we think we're just, oh, we know spiritually, we ain't got a clue. And that stuff gets out of the way. And after a while, you start seeing stuff clear. Hallelujah. Folks, we're living in the days of seeing and knowing. We're already in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, we need to start to just walk in it. We need to become a people of faith. We need to start asking for more. You're writing too little of checks. You're asking God for too little. You're expecting too little. And I'm not talking about just stuff. You're expecting too little. Most of you don't see yourself with the power of God flowing through you doing big things. You don't see yourself that way at all. You think, well, I'm not a minister. Well, then start to be one. If you don't want it to come through you and you don't ask for it to come through you, it won't come through you. You don't want it. What do you want? I'll tell you what, I want to be a lightning rod. Hallelujah. When I go outside in the storm, I want struck every time. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Hit me, God! Or we go out there, let's go out there and be safe, you know. Oh, stay away from me. Because I'll tell you, don't tell them, you'll get fried if you get near me. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, the fire's going to fall. And Ed's going to be in the middle of the fire. I'm going to be in the middle of the fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Things are going to get burnt up. And I'll tell you, what's going to be left? When the church leaves, I will guarantee the church leaves this earth, it will be the glorious church. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you this morning. Father, I just want to thank you for...